The Maiden and Her Monster by Maddie Martinez. Narrated for you by Nikki Masood. For my grandparents. What are my words but your words? My story but your story? May your memories live on through the pages of this book. I love and miss you both dearly. 22 letters to start with. He engraved, quarried, and weighed, exchanged, and combined, and with them formed all of creation and all that he was destined to fashion. From here on in, consider what a mouth can't utter and what the ear can't hear. Sefer Yetzirah, Book of Creation, circa 3rd to 6th century AD. Translator Peter Cole. Part 1. Chapter 1. The forest ate the girls who wandered out after dark. Once the sun sank below the horizon, the villagers closed their doors and shuttered their windows. The dim-tinted orange glow of tallow candles became the only wash of light spilling onto the streets. Inside the houses lining the dirt roads, families gathered. They told stories in hushed tones, animated by hands making shadow figures in the candlelight. Braided bread cooked slowly in ovens, and stoves boiled stock and vegetables for supper. In one such house, a woman sat on her knees, elbows leaning on the window's edge as she gazed out to the barren street. Over the line of sturdy stone houses, the Schechtel bell rang. Her skin prickled hard with goosebumps. The bell sounded every night save the Sabbath, and every night its warning melody, signaling curfew, crawled inside her skin. She focused instead on the cool touch of the window. When she breathed, fog weaved like a spider's web on the glass, crawling up and wide. She drew her finger up the pane, then looped it around and around to paint a flower on the window.
Malka.
The voice was as warm as the candles puddling light into the room.
Baby, please get away from the window. I don't like when you linger near it.
Yes, Ima, Malka said, pushing from the ledge. She fell into her mother's waiting arms and rested her head between the bones of her chest. Malka's hands tightened around Ima's waist, too aware of her mother's sharp ribs and protruding collarbones. Ima grasped Malka's cheeks between her cold, brittle hands.
It's time to light the outside candle.
Without Abba?
Your father is on another Rega hunt. You know how that goes. He'll either join us halfway through supper or stumble in at sunrise stinking of wine.
Ima gently rubbed her callous thumb along the gash decorating Malka's cheek, half scabbed over but still bruised. The flickering candles made Ima's eyes, normally the bright green of spring leaves, a hollow forest dark. Ima's gaze softened, for she knew what had made the gash in her skin. Who had made it? Shame clawed up Malka's throat, but she swallowed it down. Malka gritted her teeth.
The men should not have a Rega hunt while the mourner's prayer is being sung in every household in Escrave.
Ima tucked a curl behind Malka's ear.
To them, vengeance is a mourner's prayer, however unholy you may think it is.
In the kitchen, Malka's two sisters stood against the small, rectangular wooden table decorated with an embroidered cloth and the intricate copper plate meant to catch the dripping candle wax. Hadar, the youngest of the siblings, at only 8 years old, grinned at Malka as she and Ima entered the room. Her smile was all crooked teeth, brown eyes doe-like in a way Malka hoped she would never outgrow. When a piece of Hadar's raven black hair fell into her face, she puffed her cheeks to blow it aside. Malka chuckled.